You're with us as we check in on the food bank situation amid the pandemic. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. On Capitol Hill, negotiations continue on the next coronavirus relief package. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi on CBS's Face the Nation Sunday said the $600 a week federal unemployment benefit was helping people like single moms to put food on the table.
When people are hungry in our country, children, millions of children are food insecure. Many families who never thought they'd go to a food bank are going to food banks, and we need more money for food stamps and emergency nutrition programs.
Have you sought out a food pantry since the pandemic? Has it helped your family? Do you volunteer at a food bank? Where is it and what does it offer? Do you donate to your local pantry? What do you provide? We're at 800-642-1234. Stephanie Young-Dorfman is Executive Director of Feeding Wisconsin. It's a network of food banks that sources and provides food to local programs. Stephanie, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. Thanks for having me.
So how is Feeding Wisconsin doing during the pandemic?
Yeah, great question. So our network of our six Feeding America member food banks and almost 1,000 local food programs, including food pantries, is experiencing a large shift in the way that we do business. We have experienced increase in demand, declines in donation of food due to the pandemic, and completely flipped on its head our distribution model as we move to contactless drive-up, walk-up distributions to keep everyone, including our pantry guests and volunteers, safe during this time.
Yeah, how have you changed to accommodate social distancing? What does that look like for food banks?
Yeah, so most of our food banks have seen a decrease in volunteers at the food banks themselves. So in the way of sorting, handling, transporting food, we relied on more temporary staff to get that job done. And then at the point of distribution to our pantry guests at pantries, most of our pantries have moved to, like I said, drive-up or walk-up distributions where folks will pull their car right up, open their trunk, and let a volunteer or pantry staff member put a box of food right in their trunk, and then they'll shut that and drive away. So our network has typically had a much of a choice model where folks will come in and similarly to a grocery store, be able to select the foods that they would like to eat for their family, take home to their family for the weeks ahead. Unfortunately, we've had to switch to this prepackaged box distribution to keep everyone safe. And that's been the biggest shift.
With these prepackaged boxes, are families still getting access to enough fresh produce like the fruits and vegetables?
Absolutely. Most of our food banks and pantries are distributing typically boxes of fresh product, cooler product, also some freezer products and shelf-stable product within those boxes. So we have done well to source the same variety of food that we've tried to do in the past pre-COVID.
So what has volunteering been like to assemble these boxes and to keep the food getting out to the people who, your guests who need it?
Yeah, so many of our food banks, like I said, have cut their volunteer capacity short, mostly to keep our volunteers safe. So in order to keep social distancing, in order to have the room for storage and sorting of an increased amount of product in our warehouses, we've had to cut our volunteer capacity back. We also rely on a lot of older adults as our volunteers. Most of our consistent volunteers are individuals who are retired, and those folks are usually or in the situation of being some of the most vulnerable individuals in the time of the pandemic. So we've, in some cases, asked them to stay home and stay safe and instead hired some temporary staff from the service industry to keep folks working and to keep our food banks going.
You've mentioned that 40% of families coming through pantries now have never used pantry services, food banks before. What are they saying? And how is this first exposure to a food bank? What is it like?
Sure. So unfortunately, we're in a time that hunger and the experience of food insecurity is a much more normalized thing as we're seeing unemployment rates go up, and many more households struggling to put food on their table. There are many families that are making tough decisions that we've seen in the past. Many of our households pre-COVID come to our pantries because they've experienced a financial or medical hardship, and they need something to help them get by. Unfortunately, like I said, right now, those who are having those experiences are much more common and having to find ways to make their budget work, making trade-offs about thinking about how they pay their rent or pay their medical bills or put food on their table. And oftentimes food is the most flexible of their budget items. So that's what brings them to our pantry lines. So we try to make that experience as dignified as we can, providing culturally appropriate and diet appropriate foods. Like I said, unfortunately, right now we are distributing much more standardized foods in family boxes than before. But, you know, the folks that we're seeing right now are making those tough decisions, but also finding that our pantries are a place to access food to get them through the next week or the next couple weeks as they try to find income to support their family in other ways. Our pantries have experienced variable increases or decreases in need right now. The last few months, we have seen the supports of the stimulus that many Americans received help them out. We've also seen some SNAP or for the program formerly known as food stamps increase for some families. Pandemic EBT has provided some extra support for families with kids who are eligible for free and reduced lunch. And some of those supports have gotten folks through these last few months. What we're starting to see is a larger number of folks needing food. Our demand is increasing the last few weeks as some of those other supports are falling off. So that's when we're seeing an even larger number of people who have never accessed our services before show up to our pantry lines.
We're talking with Stephanie Young-Dorfman, Executive Director of Feeding Wisconsin. It's a network of food banks that sources and provides food to local programs. We're looking at demands and the impact amid the pandemic. You can join in. Does your family participate in food assistance programs? Are you in SNAP? What does food insecurity look like in your community? Does your community offer food pantries? Join in at 800-642-1234. Or you can email ideas at WPR.org. Stephanie, back in April, dairy farmers were dumping milk amid COVID due to the industry surplus. We heard reports of livestock euthanized due to reductions at processing plants and supply-demand issues. And, you know, as we read these headlines, we were saying, why in the world can't food banks get at all these products from our farmers? Did any of that surplus food or milk make it to our food banks?
Yes, I'm pleased to say it has. So we have had some strong relationships in the past and during COVID times with our Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, our Wisconsin Beef Council. And those were two partners that we worked with, along with Rural Mutual Insurance, to access some of that milk to make butter. Butter has a high ratio of milk to butter, so we were able to move a lot of milk that way. We also had a relationship with the Beef Council to receive a donation of beef for our statewide network. So we have those great relationships with our commodity associations. And our food banks are constantly working with local growers, producers, processors to access the rich resources of our Wisconsin agricultural system.
Were those connections in place pre-COVID, or did those things come together as you saw the agriculture community reeling and not knowing, you know, how to, you know, find outlets for the produce mm-hmm. and the milk?
Yeah, so those relationships did, well, we've had some of them previously. Our campaign with Rural Mutual Insurance and the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin did come out of those stories and the period of time in which our dairy farmers were struggling. So it's really exciting to see partnerships like that either develop or strengthen in those times of need. And it's really impressive to me that we can pull together a program that can both support our farmers and support the families in need across our state.
Let's look at the grant programs here that from the for the Food Security Initiative from the Evers Administration. You applied for the first round of grants last week. What will these grants do?
Yeah, so the Food Security Initiative that came out of Governor Evers' office provides an opportunity for CARES Act money to come through DACCAP to support our food security network. The first round of funding is focused on infrastructure. So in that application, we included a budget for infrastructure for transportation, storage, handling. That includes fans, coolers, freezers, other equipment for contactless distribution. And those sorts of equipment and supplies are needed both at the food bank level and at our pantry level to keep our operations running smoothly in a time like this, and also to help us meet this increase of demand of the number of households coming through our doors and the amount of food that we are anticipating needing to distribute in the coming year. Our food banks are anticipating the need to more than double the amount of food that they distributed over last year, and we're also anticipating that the peak of need will come this fall, where we're expecting to see more than 60 or 70% increase in the households we're serving. So these supports will provide our network with the means to do that.
We're talking with Stephanie Young-Dorfman, Executive Director of Feeding Wisconsin. Do you rely on local food pantries? Does your community offer enough of them? What will the fall look like for food? Join in 800-642-1234. We'll be back in a minute with Stephanie Young-Dorfman here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're learning about the spike in hunger as families seek out their local food pantries during the global health crisis. Feeding America says that food insecurity has grown nationally to more than 54 million people due to the pandemic. What does food insecurity look like in your community? Does your area offer food pantry services? Are food bank offerings enough to help families? Where are potential shortcomings? Still time to talk, 800-642-1234. Stephanie Young-Dorfman heads up Feeding Wisconsin, and she stays with us. Stephanie, as you look toward fall and offering double the amount of food that food banks offered last year, how do you ramp up?
Yeah, so our food banks are already preparing, like I said, both in the way of ramping up infrastructure, but also looking at how we're going to source that much more product. Typically, in pre-COVID times, our food banks purchase about 20% of the product they distribute and rely on donations for the other 80%. Right now, our food banks are purchasing about 60% of the food that is distributed, which is a very large shift, both in the way that we're sourcing food and the resources it takes to do that. Like I said, our food banks have strong relationships with local producers and processors. Unfortunately, we're at a time when our supply chain is struggling a bit to keep up with demand, both to our grocery stores and also maintaining the capacity for us to access some of that purchased product. One of the great resources that we're looking forward to is the second round of DACCAP applications for CARES Act funding that has the opportunity to provide some funding to source local Wisconsin agricultural products that might help serve that need.
Why do you think donations are down?
Food donations, I should say, are down. And that is because, like I said, our grocers are also struggling to keep up with demand. Much of our donated product comes from grocers and manufacturers. Our network relies on recovering a lot of products that comes through mainstream retailers that then we can distribute to those in need. And as you might see at a grocery store, if you're in especially the shelf-stable aisles, some grocers are putting limits to the number of cans that you can purchase right now because of some of those supply chain issues. So as we're seeing those disruptions in our food system, our food banks are not receiving the same donations at the end as we would in normal times.
How are monetary donations right now?
Yeah, we're receiving great community support at a time when our food banks really need it. Like I said, we're purchasing so much more product. We are hiring more staff to get this work done. And we're so thankful for the community support that we're receiving. I know that many of our food banks are considering budgets that are nearly doubling their budget of last year to accommodate this increase in demand that we see in the coming year. But we also see that this is not a short-term challenge that we're faced with. We're in this for the long haul, and we expect that this increase in demand and increase in need for our services is going to continue at least through the next year, if not longer.
You've also worked with Wisconsin Innovation Kitchen. Can you tell us about that project?
We a couple years ago worked with them on an applesauce project where we were able to source some seconds of apples to package some single serving unsweetened applesauce that we distributed throughout our network. Those are the types of projects that we're really looking to do more of if funding and capacity allows. It's really challenging this year to come up with some of those innovative projects in the middle of our growing season. Unfortunately, COVID hit at a time when farmers had already planned what they'd be growing for the coming year, for this current year, and that restricts us a little bit in some of those innovative programs. But we're definitely looking at ways that we can use small processors to secure some shelf-stable products that will help us get through the coming winter.
We're talking with Stephanie Young-Dorfman, Executive Director of Feeding Wisconsin. We're checking in on food banks amid the pandemic. Stephanie, you've reached out to tribal nation growers and producers as well as Hmong farmers to support their efforts. What are those partnerships looking like?
Yeah, we're definitely working on them. I think the strength that our state has is some opportunities for aggregating crops. So by working with aggregators, we are able to support small family farms, such as Hmong farmers, by purchasing their product through an aggregator.
What is an aggregator?
An aggregator is usually it's part of an organization that will basically compile the produce available from multiple family farms and then be able to create a produce list for the week of what is available to organizations like food banks so that we can have more of a one-stop shop rather than having to work with, say, 20 small family farms. We can go to one person, make a large purchase of all of that produce that is available. So it takes out some of the need to have many, many conversations to get the amount of food that our network needs.
And so how are those aggregators then connecting with tribal nation growers and Hmong farmers?
Sure. So there is an aggregator here in the Southwest that works very closely with many Hmong farmers to ensure that their product has an outlet. Our tribal nations, we're still in conversation with. Unfortunately, they are experiencing some of the same challenges that other growers are in this time. And I have to say that what we've also heard from many family farms, both Hmong and tribal nation growers, is that they've also shifted the amount of product that they plan to grow this year because of some uncertainty in their access to farmers markets and outlets for selling product. So we're doing what we can to see what might be available. Unfortunately, facing some of those same kind of roadblocks, but continuing our conversations and working very closely with that CAP as they have strong relationships with these growers as well.
Have you watched what food insecurity approaches are being taken as the next federal stimulus comes together?
Yes, been trying to keep an eye, and our network is calling for some supports, especially calling for a 15% increase to our SNAP benefits nationwide. We know that SNAP is an efficient and effective way to provide food resources to those in need. And SNAP not only helps to stimulate the economy, but also relieve some of the strain on our emergency food network, which is something that we would very much appreciate in the coming months as we're expecting these demands to increase.
If you see the weekly federal unemployment benefit reduced from $600 as it has expired now to $200, what impact would that have for families trying to buy food?
Yeah. So we know that that supplemental unemployment insurance is what has been getting a lot of families through during these last few months. We're expecting that that's going to have a large impact on food security, as we know that people are making some tough decisions right now about where they're putting their limited budgets to continue to pay rent or their utilities, and oftentimes food is that last budget item, that most flexible budget item that they can take some shortcuts on. So we are anticipating with unemployment insurance supplements and some of these other safety net stimulus supports waning, that we are going to see an increase of need. We already have in the last few weeks, and we're expecting that to continue through the remainder of the year, unless there are some changes from the federal government to provide some supports.
Stephanie, thank you for joining us.
Of course. Thank you so much, Kate.
Stephanie Young-Dorfman is Executive Director of Feeding Wisconsin. It's a network of food banks that sources and provides food to local programs. Just ahead, we'll hear about how psychedelic drugs are being used to treat depression and other mental illnesses, and we'll learn about how rural health clinics and providers are faring during the pandemic. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.